Let's open this time with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this evening where we can gather together to in such a manner to pray as a congregation. We thank you for the people here who set aside time to spend the evening together in prayer. And as I share the devotion for this prayer meeting, Father, may thou also be with me and grant me thy unction from above as I share. I commit this prayer unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The verse I quote for tonight, devotion is taken from Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. And I entitled my devotion tonight as the cross. Okay, let me read to you Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified, unto me and I unto the world. So as we approach Good Friday, I thought it will be good for us to be reminded of one of the most solemn and sacred events in human history. That is the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. So the Apostle Paul declares in Galatians 6, verse 14, the verse that we just read, I read to you again, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight I want us to take time to reflect on the cross, not just or merely as a historical event, but as a divine message to our hearts. So you know, in Roman times, the cross was a symbol of shame and suffering. The Romans used it to crucify criminals, rebels, and slaves. It was designed to humiliate and to inflict the most painful death you can imagine. So our Lord Jesus was crucified between two thieves, rejected by men, mocked, and despised. Yet for us as Christians, the cross is no longer a symbol of shame. It is the place where God accomplished the greatest work in history, that is the salvation of sinners. So let us tonight consider three truths the cross teaches us. The first is the cross teaches us the seriousness of sin. You know, every aspect of Christ's suffering reveals how dreadful sin is. You know, Isaiah prophesies in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Allow me to read to you. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. No, sin is not a small matter. In our world today, sin is often downplayed, joked about, or even celebrated. But the cross shows us that sin is so serious that it requires death of the Son of God. So consider also Romans chapter 6, verse 23, where we are reminded, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The payment for sin is death, not just physical death, but eternal separation from God. When Christ was hanged on the cross, he bore the full weight of our sin. Every lash, every thorn, every nail reminds us that sin is exceedingly sinful. So even more sobering are the words in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Let me read. For he hath made him to be sin for us who know no sin, that we might be made righteousness of God in him. The sinless Son of God was made sin for us. This is how serious sin is. So let us not take sin lightly. Let us not excuse it, hide it. Instead, let the cross lead us to repentance, to humility, and a renewed hatred for sin. Now, the second truth we see at the cross is this. The cross tells us the greatness of God's love. So if the cross reveals the seriousness of sin, it also reveals something even more wonderful, that is the immeasurable, undeserved, and sacrificial love of God towards sinners. And these two must be seen together. So the darker the reality of sin, the brighter the love of God shines at the cross. So we read in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commandeth his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So notice carefully, God did not wait for us to change. He did not wait for us to become better. Did not wait for us to be more sincere or more worthy. It was while we were yet sinners, which is while we are still in our rebellious state, in our indifference, even in our rejection of him, that Christ died for us. So this shows us that God's love is not reactive. It is not based on our goodness, but based purely on his grace. And the same truth is beautifully expressed in the verse we all know, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God's love is seen not just in words, but in action. He gave, and what he gave was not something small. He gave his only begotten son. The cross, therefore, stands as the greatest demonstration of love the world has ever known. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, we read, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. Note, at the cross, justice and mercy meet. God did not ignore sin. He judged it fully in Christ. Yet in doing so, he provided a way for you and me to be saved. So when you doubt God's love, look at the cross. When you feel unworthy, remember Christ died for sinners, died for you and me. His love is not based on our worthiness, but on his grace. Now, having seen the seriousness of sin and the greatness of God's love, we come to the third truth. That is, the cross brings peace between God and man. Before salvation, the Bible makes it very clear that our condition was not neutral. We were not just distant from God, but we were his enemies. In Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 10, it says, for if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Well, this is a sobering reality. By nature and by our sin, we stood opposed to a holy God. There was a barrier between us, not just distance, but of guilt, of condemnation, and divine judgment. But what we could never do ourselves, God has done it. Christ has done it for us. Now, through the cross, reconciliation has been made possible. The hostility has been removed, not by ignoring sin, but by fully dealing it through the sacrifice of Christ. You know, as Colossians chapter 1 verse 20 declares, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Notice, this peace is not achieved by our own effort, but made through the blood of his cross. It is Christ's finished work that brings us back to God. This is true peace. not just a feeling, but a restored relationship between a holy God and a sinful man. And, you know, at the very moment Christ died, right, something remarkable took place. Matthew chapter 27, verse 51 tells us, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom. This veil separated the Holy of the Holies, the very presence of God from the people, and only the high priest could enter, and that only once a year. But when Christ died, the veil was torn from top to bottom, showing that it was God himself who opened the way. Through Christ, access to God is no longer restricted. The way into God's presence is now open for all who believe. That is why in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So we who were once far away, alienated, cut off, and without hope, have now been brought near to God. We are no longer outsiders, but welcome into God's presence. So if you are in Christ, you are no longer an enemy. You are reconciled. You have peace with God. You have access to Him in prayer. No, you and I belong to Him. So now after hearing these three truths, when we look at the cross, we should see something deeply humbling, yet wonderfully comforting. The cross reminds us that we are forgiven because Jesus paid the price for our sin. The cross reminds us that we are loved because the Son of God gave himself for us. The cross reminds us that we belong to Christ, for we are redeemed by his blood. You know, at the cross, our relationship with the world changed. The things that once captivated us, pride, the pleasures, the pursuit of this world begin to lose their grip on us. The world loses its grip on us. It loses grip on us not because we force ourselves to let go, but because we see something far greater, far better, the beauty, the love, and the worth of Christ. So now as we look back at the verse we read earlier in Galatians chapter 6 verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul here is saying, let me boast in nothing else. Not in our achievement, not in our wealth, not in our status, but only in the cross. And why? Because at the cross, everything changed. The world loses its grip on us, and we are drawn to Christ. So as we prepare for Good Friday, this coming Friday, may this be our prayer. Lord, help us to glory in the cross. Help us to live in the light of what Christ has done. Help us to love him more, hate sin more, and walk in peace with him. Let us pray. Our Father, in our gracious and our mighty God in heaven, we thank you for this message of the cross, and we ask that you will forgive us for the many times we have glory in ourselves, in our works, in our possession, and teach us, Lord, to glory to only glory in Christ. And may the cross humble our pride, transform our lives, and help us to live as new creatures, crucified to the world and alive unto you. All this I pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.